Tonight we will be honoring our graduates. We've got three graduates, and all of them great, and we're going to sing all their praises then. That's in a couple weeks, the night of the 29th. All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 1, please, as we begin a new series from the book of Revelation. We've met the Jesus of the Gospels, and we've come to know Him well, but the Jesus who is revealed in the book of Revelation, he's the same Jesus, but he's different. And we're going to see him revealed, not robed in human flesh, but in all of his glory. And we're going to see him in this series as we open the seal, roll back the scroll on the book of Revelation. It was the Jesus of the Gospels, by the way, that I think of right now, just on a day such as today, where we were praying for God to just show us his reality and just bless us and just answer prayers and pour out some blessings to us, and he's already done that. It was the Jesus of the Gospels that I'm reminded of who said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I'm thankful for the Jesus of the Gospels, but I want to introduce you to the Jesus of Revelation. And if you look at Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and actually look just above that. And what does it say under the title in your Bible? The revelation of St. John the Divine. Look at verse 1. Who is it really the revelation of? Read it with me. Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The beginning of verse 3 says we're blessed if we read. It goes on to say we're blessed if we heed it, if we keep it. And so this message, the blessing of reading and heeding, is a great way to start off this study in the book of Revelation. It'll take us at least 60 or 70 messages to get through this. And as one of you pointed out to me before the service, we better hurry, since if you watch the news, Jesus is coming back this Saturday. Did you see that? This guy poured out his whole life savings, $140,000, predicting that it'll be that day. And of course, according to the Bible, since no man knows the hour, it's basically the only day I can guarantee that Jesus won't return, is this coming Saturday, based on the Bible. Okay? So we better hurry if he was right about that. The true title is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. The year is 96 A.D. And John is up in years, perhaps in his 80s at this point. Somewhere around 65 years previous to this vision and this writing in Revelation, as a young man, Jesus called John as a young man to leave his fishing boats and become a fisher of men. This is the John who was present at many very significant occasions, like at the Mount of Transfiguration, where very briefly he saw Jesus in his glory, and then in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus submitted to go to the cross, John was there. John was there at the foot of the cross as Jesus died. He wrote five books of the Bible, not only his gospel and Revelation, but remember the little epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, there just before Revelation. In the book of John, the gospel of John, his cry was, "Believe." In the epistles, his cry was, "Be sure." And in Revelation, he said, "Be ready." In the Gospel of John, it was about salvation. In the Epistles, sanctification. In Revelation, John wrote of sovereignty. In the book of John, he portrays Jesus as the prophet. In the Epistles, as priest. And in Revelation, as the soon-coming king. Here's what happened. The Lord took John away from his busy life as pastor of the church in Ephesus, that he might write down heavenly visions revealed unto him. God used an evil emperor, that was Domitian, to exile John onto this miserable little rocky desert island called Patmos off the coast of what is today Italy. This little rocky place was like Alcatraz. It was where the Roman government sent their roughest criminals. Rather than killing John for preaching the gospel, Domitian had John boiled in oil and left on Patmos to die a long, painful death. There he was. And you know, when you're in pain, when you're suffering, you are in prime position to hear from God. And God was in control, not the Emperor Domitian. God had John right where he wanted, in a place of suffering, and all alone where he could hear from him, and in his devotions he did. Jesus Christ appeared to him, gave him what is recorded here in chapter 1. Are you as excited as me about this series to come? Wow. Look with me, first of all, number 1, at the focus of the book of Revelation. The focus of the book is the first 5 words. Read them aloud with me, please. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not John. It's not the beast. It's not the Antichrist. It's Jesus Christ. That's the focus of this book, is Jesus Christ. Revelation means literally unveiling. The word revelation means unveiling. Like a new statue, you know, when they want to unveil it, they pull the big canvas off. That's what happens here in Revelation, an unveiling. While on earth, be reminded, please, that while Jesus was here on earth, His glory was hidden. It was veiled behind human flesh. For only that brief moment was it revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration. John was there along with his brother James and Peter. The glory on Jesus' inside was seen on the outside, and the disciples described it as the shining of the sun, and yet human eyes could hardly stand the intensity. God had to veil it again in an instant. But in Revelation, the Lord gives John some special glasses, if you will, and gives him an extended look at his glory, allowed him to see him in all his glory unveiled before him, in all of his splendor, in all of his majesty. Together we will see, and we will be blessed, as our title says today, to read and see and heed these things. Together we will see Jesus Christ for who He is, in His power like never before. You know, we can see Jesus in the Gospels, and it's wonderful, His first coming to earth. But in Revelation, we see His second coming, not veiled in human flesh, but robed in royalty, majesty and splendor and power, the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Somebody say amen today. I can't wait to see Him that way. We've seen Him in the Gospels. It was a crucifixion that He came for. But in Revelation, it's a coronation. In the Gospels, He came for a tree, but in Revelation, He comes for a throne. I can't wait to see Him coming like that. In the Gospels, He stood before Pilate and was judged. But in Revelation, Pilate will stand before Him. By the way, we have all these things that we can put up on the screen for you. In the Gospels, He suffers shame. But in the book of Revelation, He shows splendor. In the Gospels, He came to redeem. But in Revelation, He comes to rule and to reign. In the Gospels, He came as the justifier, but He's coming back in Revelation as the judge. It was the lamb in the Gospels, but the lion in the book of Revelation. And so you can see and compare here on the screen. Isn't that something? That's all of them right there. Well, we need to see both sides of this Jesus. We need to see both sides of this Jesus who came down for us for one purpose and yet is coming back for us for an altogether different purpose. Caution. Stop right here. Some people love to study prophecy, but for the wrong reasons. I hope you're not one like this. Let's be cautioned. Some people love to study prophecy, but they aren't looking for Jesus in it nearly so much as they're excited by the gloom and the doom, the death and destruction, and the current events that we can see all around us. Listen, we will see all these things. We won't be able to not see all these things. We will have to see all these things as we study. It's all around us, but listen, let's make our point. To make our point be Jesus. Let's make a point of that. Because it's the revelation, not of the end. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's all about Him. As we launch into this powerful study, we need to be looking not for the sensational, but for the sovereign. Looking not just for current events, but for the coming King. picture with me a train station, okay? In this train station, there's a station master. He's in charge. He's got the schedule. He has the full schedule. He knows when every train will come and when every train will go. He has all the details. He has all the charts and the schedules. He probably has them all memorized. He knows every detail of how that train station is supposed to operate. But sitting in that train station is a young lady. She doesn't know all these schedules and these different things. All she does know is that very soon, her fiancé, whom she is deeply in love with, is on one of those trains and is due to show up in the station. She doesn't know exactly when, but she knows it could be any time, and so she's very excited. She can hardly wait. Her heart beats wildly with anticipation. Listen, don't study Revelation like the station master. Yeah, I got all the details. I got down all the facts. No, make it all about your true love, and you're waiting for him to arrive, and you know it could be at any moment. Focus on Jesus. He's the focus of the book of Revelation. Number two, I want you to see with me the function. The function of the book of Revelation. What purpose does this book serve? Are you still listening? Would you say amen? Okay. I'm going to fly through some stuff, but you'll be blessed if you listen carefully now. What is the purpose of the book of Revelation? Look at verse number one again. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show, for this purpose, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. In other words, to show the future. To show the future. Things which must shortly come to pass. You know, many go around prophesying about what will happen in the future. Like this character in New York saying that it's May 21st, 2011. They go around prophesying. How many of you remember the book back in the 80s, in the mid-80s, called 88 Reasons He's Coming Again in 1988? You remember that book? It was a big seller right up until 1988. And then they really stopped flying off the shelves. What did we say? What have we said over the years? We can see it clearly. Russia's going to nuke us. We said Saddam's going to use biological weapons. We said Bin Laden's the false prophet. I don't think so. I don't think so. All there is to know about the future has already been predicted. All that we need to know is given to us here. We don't have to guess about things. It's all been fulfilled with 100% accuracy so far. And I've got a feeling that it's going to continue to be fulfilled with 100% accuracy, don't you think? Just as it's been predicted. And it's right here in our laps. God has said all he's going to say, and it's plenty. And that's what we're going to see. So listen, we don't have to consult a medium. Dionne Warwick doesn't know the future. Neither does Miss Cleo, okay, or her psychotic friends network. You don't have to consult these people. What is it about our generation today that flocks to these little shacks and storefronts with signs out front, you know, ask Madame Zonga. She sees all, knows all, tells all. Honk, so I know you're here. Only God knows the future. And thanks to the book of Revelation, so can we. And when I say we, who are we talking about? Look again at verse 1. To show unto his servants. His servants. Things which must shortly come to pass. I'm happy to be one of his servants. How about you? That's who he's revealing this to. That's why our title can apply to us if we are his servant. There's a promised blessing for reading and heeding these things. That's why I hope that you will be in every service, and a majority of our Revelation messages will be on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. I'm just telling you, so just in advance, you can decide, I don't deserve the blessing of reading and heeding, and not come. Okay? Everyone got that down now? If you don't deserve it, you'll know how to not receive it. All right. His servants. Some Christians don't like the term servant because of our nation's history of slavery, some would say. Some have taken it out of their vocabulary for that reason. May I say today that there is no regrets for a servant if they have a wonderful master. And there's no regret being a servant of Jesus Christ because he is a wonderful Master and Lord. If you're not saved, you're a servant too. Did you know that? If you're not saved, the Bible says you're a slave to sin. So we're all servants, no matter what. It's like the guy who says, I'm not staying under authority anymore. I'm out of here, Mom and Dad. I'm joining the Marines. We're all under authority. We're all servants, no matter where we are, no matter where we go. If you're not saved, you won't understand Revelation. It's for His servants. And so I hope that in this first message, you'll get saved if you need that. So, the function of this book is to reveal the future to Christians. But how is that done? How is God going to accomplish that? How is He going to show us the future? What is God's method for communicating these great truths with us? I think the key word is signified. Signified. Look again at the end of verse 1. Things which must shortly come to pass, and He sent and signified it. Signified it by His angel unto His servant, John. The word signified carries the idea of symbolism. And there's heavy symbolism in the book of Revelation. You will see the words like and as over and over again. Like unto, or it was as gold, or as a fire, or things like that. You'll see these kind of phrases commonly. God's telling us up front to expect to encounter a lot of symbolism. Now, why would that be? Let me give you three reasons right now that I believe God used much symbolism in the book of Revelation. Number one, the symbols that He would present to us become a spiritual code. A spiritual code. This book, the book of Revelation, can only be understood by His servants, by those for whom it is intended. In other words, you need an understanding of the rest of the Bible, everything before the book of Revelation. How many books are before Revelation? Can you count that high? Genesis, Exodus. Don't do it that way. There's 66, right? It's the last one. All of them. Does somebody say that? All of them are before that. 65 before that. There's always a smart aleck in the group. We need an understanding of the rest of the Bible in order to have the full effect with the culmination that it comes to here at the end, the book of Revelation. There's over 300 references in Revelation to your Old Testament, for instance. Many of the symbols in Revelation can only be interpreted in light of the Old Testament and some of the other teachings in the New Testament. In other words, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. Yes. So we let the Word of God do the work of God. It speaks for itself. And here's what we need to do. We have to anchor our interpretations of Revelation not to just what we think, not to current events, not to some guy on TV. We need to anchor our interpretations of Revelation to what God has already revealed in Scripture, rather than letting our imaginations run wild as we read these verses. If you want to see wild things, by the way, just do it the Bible way anyway, because it's going to be wild. But we don't need to let our imaginations take it places that it doesn't need to go. So, number one reason to use symbolism, I believe, because of the spiritual code found throughout the Bible. Number two, I believe He used symbolism to convey the message of the end times with deeper emotion. Deeper emotion. For instance, John could have written that a dictator will rule the world, but he didn't say that. He says, the beast will rule the world. The beast, that puts something in your mind, doesn't it? Dictator puts another thing in your mind. This is unlike any dictator you've ever seen. This is a beast. It conveys His power and His cruelty with deep emotion. And that's how we should receive it. John could have said, there will be a one world government, but he doesn't say that. He says, Babylon the Great. An Old Testament reference, by the way. And it conveys deeper emotion to us. So, here's a third reason. Why do you use symbolism? Number three, because John is describing, I believe, 21st century events with a first century vocabulary and a first century knowledge. He has a first century vocabulary and knowledge. But he's seeing things in, I believe, most likely, the 21st century. Okay? So think about it. As God revealed these things to John, He carries him forward more than 1,900 years into the future. Time travel, yes. If you lived 1,900 years ago and you saw a sky full of assault helicopters, and every time they fired a missile, all the vegetation in sight was destroyed, how might you refer to that with your limited vocabulary? Maybe a sky full of giant locusts? That's what John said, among many other symbolic things that he said. If God showed you the devastation of a nuclear bomb, for instance, you saw an entire city wiped out just like that, how might you describe that? Might you use the terms fire and brimstone instead? I believe John is describing 21st century events with his first century knowledge and language. Now here's the $24,000 question. How are we to interpret this highly symbolic book? Are we supposed to interpret it literally or symbolically? Since there's so many symbols in it, should we interpret it literally or symbolically? The answer is yes. Yes, to both, literally and symbolically. In other words, you find out what the symbol stands for and then believe it literally. For example, Revelation chapter 12, we'll see Satan, referred to as a dragon, having a tail so long that he knocks one-third of the stars from heaven. Obviously, that's symbolism. Satan is referred to as a dragon because he is so ferocious, among other reasons. And other scriptures in the Bible tell us that one-third of the stars are demon spirits, fallen angels, who followed Satan at his first rebellion. Literally, he carried them down with him as he was cast out of heaven at his first rebellion at the beginning of time. Now listen, don't hear something like that and do like the liberals and say, that's symbolism, therefore, there is no devil. And that's what the liberals do. You watch. That's what they do. They say, you just admitted that it's symbolic, and that's how we know there is no literal devil. No, that's symbolism that stands for a literal devil. Can I have an amen today? You find out what the symbol means and then believe it literally. So the focus of the book, Jesus Christ. The function of the book, to show the future only to His servants. Number three, and finally, what is the fruit of this book? I want you to see the fruit of the book of Revelation. Look at verse 3 now. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What is the fruit of this book? It's a promise that if we will just read it and heed it, we are in for a tremendous blessing. Look at verse 3 again. Please don't miss it. Blessed is he that readeth. Would you like to be blessed? Can I see your hand today? Let's read it. Let's read it all the way through. Maybe you want to go home and do that in the next several days. Promise blessing right there. And heed it. Understand it. That's important too. That's why we're going to preach it and why you need to be here for it too. We are in for a tremendous blessing. In coming months, we will see together that this world is on a toboggan slide toward economic disaster. You say, well, I already knew that. I watched the news. Don't be surprised that the news will be much like reading the newspaper. It will be much like reading the book of Revelation, because I believe we're in the last days. The world's on a toboggan slide toward economic disaster, natural disaster. Have you seen any of that around? Or have you been living in a hole somewhere? Nuclear war, famines, pestilence, I could go on and on. Through it all, however, we will see that God Almighty is still on the throne. God Almighty is in full control. We'll find out that we're in a good place too when all hell is breaking loose on earth. So, it's not just enough for us to read it. We must heed it. The promised blessing comes not just from reading, that's like a creed, but from heeding. That's a lifestyle. In other words, prophetic doctrine needs to hold hands with practical duty. The real sign of whether we really believe this prophecy is not how high we jump when we hear these sensational things. It's how straight we walk once we land and our feet hit the floor. As you come to each service, to get the promised blessing. Don't leave with your head high in the clouds of prophecy. Rather, leave with your feet firmly planted on the sidewalk of soul winning. That's heeding it. Not just reading it, but heeding it. Based on these things, I've got to live my life differently. Based on these things, I've got to tell others. I've got to warn others. We've got to warn our community of the wrath to come. This book, the Bible, will change our community if we will read it, heed it, and take it to them. No other book can do this. Show me a science book that can explain these things. We claim, as Americans today, to be on a university level scientifically, but as long as we remain in kindergarten morally, and that's where we are, we will remain unchanged as a society. Sociology may make us a neighborhood, but it will not make this world a brotherhood. Washington's constantly trying to make things better, but they're simply painting the deck of a sinking ship. That's all they're doing. At best. I wish they would do that. Revelation gives us a winning perspective. See, you can read the back of the book. You can find out how it ends. A winning perspective right here. World events may grieve us and get us down in sadness, but they don't have to shake us. And Scripture says, when you see these things beginning to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. The end of verse 3 ends with these words, the time is at hand. If that was the gospel truth 1900 years ago, how true is it today? You come to the end of the book of Revelation in chapter 21, and I always like to joke that God talked to me last. He said, surely I come quickly. Jesus' last words, surely I come quickly. If he could say that long ago, how true is it today that it's quickly? Especially when we see signs of the times all around us. How can we do anything less than just make our main thing be keeping the main thing, and doing God's business? Because we are not guaranteed much time. The guy in New York might have more faith than I have after preaching this message right now. Really? You think we're going to make it all the way to this Saturday? See what I'm saying? That needs to be our perspective, at least, is looking up. For the time is at hand. Are you his servant? The time is at hand. Accept him today as your Savior, or wait and face him as sovereign. Oh, you don't want to do that if he's not your Savior. You can accept him today as your Redeemer, or wait, face him as ruler. Let him be your justifier today so you don't have to face him as judge on that day. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, there's a promised blessing to those who read and heed these things. We just read it. Now how can you heed it? Is God telling you to get saved, to make sure that you're saved today? Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, heed it, and you'll be blessed. Christian, you're like me. You've already been saved, but you need to live it, and you need to live for something bigger than yourself. You need to start living in the light of the end times and the book of Revelation. You need to get your house in order. This year, church, I'm going to be challenging you, something that the Lord has shared with me, that if the worst happens in America even before the rapture, if shadows of the tribulation fall across this side of the rapture and affect us in some ways, if we are attacked again in a major way, if our power grid does go out or something worse, our food supply is gone, or natural disasters, or our economy completely collapses in the United States of America, we need to have our ducks in a row as Christians until God takes us home. I don't want to be one that's drowning. I want to be one who's pulling others to shore. We need to be living in light of the book of Revelation. Not scared by these things. Our God is still on the throne. He's in full control. But don't you know, there could be some great awakenings and some great opportunities to witness and see multitudes get saved if the worst happened in America before the rapture. Certainly the worst is going to happen after it, and you don't have to be here if you get saved today. Lord, this morning, pray for any lost soul that needs to be saved, that they would come and heed these words. Trust you as their Savior while there is time, while there is hope. I pray, Lord, that you'd help the rest of us to be about your business, serving you while there is time now, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand quietly, reverently. If you'd like to come use this altar today, maybe you've got some loved ones you need to pray about getting the gospel to. Maybe complete strangers. However God leads you to come pray. In light of these things that we've just seen and heard, and we'll study together in coming weeks and months, let's start it in prayer. Let's ask God to give us everything that He would have for us to get from His Word, and that it would affect us, affect our feet as we walk out of this place. Would you come right now? And if you're not sure if you've been saved, would you come right now and I'll watch for you? If you need to make sure that you're saved, come meet me here at the front. No one else is looking, but God is watching to see if you will heed what He's told you to do now. We had one join the church last week. If God would lead you to become a member here, then you're invited to come right now. As we'll have another couple of verses, would you come? Maybe you've been saved but never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. If you would come, we can set up a time and talk more about that. All right, thank you very much. You may be seated. Chris, give us these guys' names. We told everyone about them earlier. Who do we got here? Austin and Sean. Okay. How old are you guys? 13. 13. Okay, good. And they're not twins, by the way. They said they never do this, but it just so happened today, okay? Did you guys ask Jesus to be your Savior, and do you want to live your life for Him? All of God's people said. Isn't that wonderful? Let's show them some love. Now, Brother Billy, were you involved in this too? You were not involved in this. Okay, Chris was involved in this. That's wonderful. If you would do the honors, brother, and lead these guys back to the back door in a minute, we're going to shake their hands and welcome them to the body of Christ. Okay. Actually, just as we close in prayer, you can do that. You guys can take a seat for right now, because I got a little bit more to tell you before we're completely gone. Remember that in tonight's service, we have our own missionary, Brother Phil Underheil. He was our Word of Life missionary for years and years and got our clubs going here, which are doing so well. I've seen so many souls get saved. He's moved on now to being a missionary to the Big Island of Hawaii, which, believe it or not, is a mission field, cut off from the world, and they have a good work going there, and they're going to tell us more about it tonight. I've got a feeling he's back, though, to check on Word of Life. That's where his heart is at, and but don't be surprised if he's got a Bermuda shirt on or something like that. Hopefully no shorts. He and Miss Cindy will be here in the service tonight and sharing their pictures, videos, etc., and their stories, and you tell me at the door if you want to join us if you've not RSVP'd to a little pizza party at Monocle's with them after the evening service tonight. You would be welcome. We've got a private room reserved there. So that's 6 o'clock tonight. We look forward to Brother Phil Underheil and Miss Cindy. Okay? And let's bring some people with us next week. We've got lots of people in the church that have picked next weekend to be gone. And so let's bring some more people in here so we can have another great day like today. We know that 2 weeks from today is going to be a great day. Let's work this weekend at having a great week next Sunday, okay? And let's stand to our feet, be dismissed with a word of prayer. We'll send you some more information on all this here shortly. Please let me know privately if you've got any questions or concerns, thoughts or comments. That'd be great too. You guys want to head to the back door? People can shake your hand after we pray here, okay? It's been good to be in God's house, amen? Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Brother Chuck, would you lead us, please, sir?